You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back on with Katie Kimball from Kids Cook Real Food. And if you missed the first part of our conversation on Monday, you're going to want to go back and listen to that. We're talking about kitchen stewardship and how God created our bodies to eat healthy foods and how we can pass that on to our children. So I'm glad to have Katie back. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Yvette. It's always good to connect with the homeschool community.
Yes. Yeah, I love it. I love talking to you about this stuff. One of the things I was thinking about when we were talking before is behavior. And I know that oftentimes we see, I see this definitely in my children, one child way more so than the other, is that when she is not eating healthy foods or when she has too much sugar, it really affects her behavior. I mean, we can see it. Like, I mean, you know, if maybe I haven't been with her and I can just see her behavior, I'm like, okay, what'd she have? What kind of sugar did she have? And my husband will do the same thing. And I know, especially for homeschool families whose kids are home all day long and we're trying to teach them and keep control of our children in some way, the things that we're putting into their bodies can really have a great effect on their behavior. Can you talk about that a little bit in that correlation between food and behavior?
Absolutely. And I do love that this is a homeschool community because we're used to being a little bit against the culture here. Uh-huh. And I think this is a little bit against kind of what modern medicine, like you can read doctors who will say, psh, food has no impact on behavior, but talk to most parents and they'll disagree. And really, I mean, the science supports it though. The gut and the brain are connected by the vagus nerve. And actually the gut is often called the second brain. It's so important. So what we eat has both an immediate and a long-term effect on our brains and how our brains work and how healthy our brains are. So when we think about, you know, why does sugar maybe make kids be more angry or more reactive or have poor behavior? Well, sugar is a simple carbohydrate. It's going to shoot our blood sugar up and give very quick energy, but then that quick energy disappears completely and the kids crash. And so they're out of mental and physical energy. Of course, they're going to misbehave because they don't have any gas in the tank. Mm-hmm. Right? We all know what it's like to get a little too hungry. And, you know, we call it hangry. And we just don't have the patience anymore. And so when a child doesn't have patience, they're generally going to act out, back talk, and misbehave. Mm-hmm. So most absolutely. If the child's eating healthy fats and proteins that take a long time to digest, they'll have that mental and physical energy all the way between their snacks and their meals. And as well, I think a lot of we're seeing so many different little food sensitivities and food allergies as well. And sometimes those can manifest themselves in poor behavior mm-hmm. because the child feels bad, but it's such a constant feel bad that their brains sort of like allow them to dismiss it. So they can't articulate my tummy hurts or my, right. you know, my brain feels foggy or whatever, mm-hmm. because they're sensitive to a certain food that they're probably eating all the time. Cause we don't know that they're sensitive yet.
Right.
And that can absolutely manifest itself too in bad behavior. Cause you just feel a little off. And so again, not enough gas in the tank.
Right.
To behave well. So thinking about fueling our bodies with lots of healthy fruits and vegetables and good solid fats and proteins really can make a difference in kids' behavior for sure.
Yeah. Do you have on somewhere on your website, do you have ideas for good healthy foods and snacks and meals and stuff? Like, okay, I'm one of those people who I want a list. Like, I don't want to have to think through it as when it comes to food. I want someone to literally provide a list for me that says, here's a list of some healthy foods and snacks and breakfast foods and lunch foods. And, dinner is always the big thing, you know, of course, and we'll talk about dinner time in a minute. But do you have somewhere on your website that makes it easy for moms like myself who don't want to have to think, it's stressful for me to think through that mm-hmm. stuff.
You know, it's funny. I actually have on my idea list, I was like, I need a list of like healthy, just all healthy snacks, like a big list. It's on my ideal list, though it doesn't exist yet. But we have a free resource, 10 healthy snacks that kids can make.
Oh, okay.
So I have a lot of like pieced together resources, but it would be really smart to make one central hub. Like, here's how you eat healthy.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's my vote. I am voting for that. You can call it the Yvette list. Perfect. Oh my goodness. Let's talk about dinner time. You know, that is by far my most stressful time of the day because I don't enjoy being in the kitchen. I would much rather sit and read to my girls or play a game with them or do anything other than having to figure out. And I know it's terrible. You would think I'd have figured this out by now, but I'm the one who will walk into the kitchen at 5 p.m. and think, oh, I can make dinner and it'll be on the table and amazing by 6. And I open up the refrigerator, the freezer, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, what are we going to have tonight? And then I'm trying to concoct some, you know, healthy, amazing meal for my family. And it's just very strange. And then, you know, of course, we don't end up eating till like 7 or 7:30 because I'll see the time, you know, it takes 45 minutes to cook this chicken and this recipe. So in my brain, of course, it's only going to take 45 minutes. Dinner is going to be done and on the table in 46 minutes. And that doesn't happen. So I would love to talk about dinner time, how we can kind of maybe supercharge dinner time. And then just making good use of, in addition to figuring out dinner, just how can we make good use of every moment that we're together eating with our kids? Because I know mealtime is a really important time, especially if we have dads who are working outside of the home and maybe that is really their main time. You know, dad's come home from work, dinner on the table. This is his time and the family's time together. That was two questions. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. No,
well, there's two answers. So
okay,
that's good.
Great.
I mean, so first the problem with dinner time, and I am time challenged as well. So I'm totally with you. I'm like, oh, this will be easy. 46 minutes. No problem. But, you know, we have a finite number of decisions, good decisions that you can make in a day. Mm-hmm. So by the time we're getting to dinner, especially when you've been homeschooling kids all day and managing a household, you're kind of running out of good decision-making power. And that's why it's so draining and so exhausting to cook without a plan. And that's also why the dinner table can sometimes be a little bit contentious because you're running out of good decision-making power. And if you have to like discipline a child, you're just like, I don't really know how to do this anymore. So planning ahead is really important for both instances. So, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of meal planning. You know, if you can sit down when you have good decision-making power left, maybe on a weekend and think about, you know, what you want to make, that's going to save on your budget. That's going to totally save on your sanity in that 5 o'clock power hour. And definitely infuse more vegetables. If you're doing the, oh man, what do I make? Like probably gonna grab frozen peas every time.
Mm-hmm, right.
but if you're, you know, if you're kind of getting inspired and feeling creative and like, I love connecting meals together. So like tonight I'm going to make 4 pounds of homemade sausage. Like I have ground pork thawed. So I'll make homemade sausage and I'll freeze a bunch of it for later, which is helping me later. Mm-hmm. But then I'll use some in tonight's meal and in Monday night's meal. Right. So because I planned, I'm able to save myself so much time by like doubling up on things like that. So I would definitely encourage you, Miss Yvette, to meal plan as much as possible. But also, I think having the kids involved makes a huge difference because not only can they be helpful,
right?
But then you're not sacrificing that family time of reading books and playing games to go into the kitchen by yourself.
Right.
The kitchen can be that family time and really connecting around a common goal, right? When we're working toward a common goal, everyone feels that togetherness and how important that is. So I would definitely say, you know, do some meal planning. But and then, you know, once you're at the table, it is a wonderful opportunity for family togetherness and even just, you know, sharing that healthy food, talking about healthy food. But what I love is when faith and science agree on things, you know, so like for how many thousands of years has God been teaching his people, say grace before meals, right? Take a moment and slow down and say grace and give gratitude to me, your creator, right? For all the blessings you're about to receive. And so that's great. Like we hopefully have already that habit of saying grace. And now it's so funny. The scientists are like just now discovering that gratitude actually improves mental health, because when we're, you know, we Americans especially are like running around all day, and sometimes we're eating standing up or we're eating in our cars or whatever. And that's one of the reasons that we're having so many stress-related illnesses and digestive issues, because your body is not made to digest if you're moving, right? Your body is actually created to digest when you're resting and sitting and enjoying being at table. How many times did Jesus break bread? I'm sure he didn't break bread, you know, standing up on his cell phone, right?
Right. Like,
and then I just have a really fun conversation starter for families to like help supercharge that time. Like if you're going to be together, you should be talking about your day, right? So we do the three L's, and it's, when did you laugh today? How did you love others? And what did you learn today?
Oh, fine.
And it just really gives a nice structure. It allows the parents, the adults, to give a good example of being lifelong learners, right? Mm-hmm. And we're training those servant hearts. Like sometimes kids are like, I don't know how I love today. It's like, well, look for an opportunity tomorrow. You know, we're going to ask this again. So we just find that gives a really nice structure and our kids enjoy sharing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's fun. I love that. I love having prompts sometimes because, you know, sometimes, I mean, our family does not lack the creativity of conversation. We always have someone talking. But I know for some families, that's not always the case. And, you know, and for some, especially who are more introverted, you know, sometimes they need those prompts, especially, you know, just how, like, what do I say? What do I talk about? So that's great. Okay, let's take another quick break and we will be back shortly. Does it feel like you spend more time searching for educational videos than watching them? Are you looking for educational games and activity books? Do you need some virtual field trips to supplement your studies? Then Homeschool History is for you. Homeschool History is a new online resource from the team at Knotgrass History. You can use your phone, tablet, or computer to find history-related videos, games, websites, field trips, and more. Visit homeschoolhistory.com to start your free trial today.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
We are back with Katie Kimball from Kids Cook Real Food. I want to kind of go back to the health part and teaching our kids how to take control of their own health. What can we do as parents to help our kids own their health? Because as kids, you know, they typically are going to eat what we eat and do things the way that we do them in our home. But how many times do we see our kids go off to college or get married and they just kind of go off and they don't necessarily follow in the footsteps of how mom and dad did things at home. So when it comes to food and healthy lifestyle and healthy eating, how can we help our kids to own their own health?
Awesome question. Yeah, I would say two things. And first is the conversation and second is the implementation. So we do, I mean, in our house, we have a lot of conversations about food. And I think most of our generation grew up thinking that food was just like something that you need to eat so that you stop being hungry.
Right.
We weren't necessarily taught to connect it with how we feel. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's really important to teach my kids that food is fuel, you know, and there can be good fuel and bad fuel. And I like to motivate them with whatever they love to do. So if your kid loves to play sports and they're a soccer star, you say, well, what kind of food do you think God has created to give you the energy to stay out there on that soccer field and not get so tired, right? If your child's into drama and singing and choir, well, what kind of foods, you know, are going to help you have that lung capacity and the, you know, brain capacity to memorize all your lines? And you can, you know, the internet's amazing. You can look up like what foods are good brain foods and what foods are good for energy. And I think that's really powerful and motivating to kids. So that's when, you know, we have the conversation and we talk about food and how does food make you feel? You know, my kids will go to youth group and drink the pop and the sugary lemonade. But I try to say like, you know, pay attention to your body, see how, you know, pay attention to how you feel. So at the very least, I think they're pretty good at moderation.
Yeah.
Right. That's when you really feel it is when you overdo it. And then implementation. If the kids can do it for themselves, they're far more likely to leave my home and continue these habits, right? And that was sort of my crisis that caused me to start Kids Cook Real Food. I was like, oh my gosh, I am like feeding the kids vegetables and they know how to eat vegetables. But if they were to, you know, when they leave my house at 18, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it.
Right.
So they might just, you know, fall into the frozen pizza aisle. So for me, it's really, really important to teach kids proper skills and techniques and get them really comfortable in the kitchen when they're, you know, under my roof, and I can still help them out and they can have safe failures and learn from those so that they have that confidence in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. Confidence is good, because we talked about being uncomfortable in the kitchen, which is what I am in one of these days. I will say, though, that my girls are much more comfortable in the kitchen than I am, which is interesting. They both enjoy cooking and experimenting much more than I do. So I think that's a good thing. You know, one of the things I've heard you say is that cooking is so much more than just kitchen work. How do you think that learning to cook impacts kids in other ways? How is it more than just kitchen work?
Yeah, I see the kitchen as one of the greatest educational environments we've been given. Mm-hmm. And again, I started out like, I just need my kids to have life skills and I need a little help and I'm drowning here. So for me, it was all practical. But now that my kids have been cooking for 5 years and we have all these members around the world telling us stories like you have already about what your kids are experiencing mm-hmm. in the kitchen. We now say the three C's of Kids Cook Real Food are connection, confidence, and creativity. Mm. There's that connection with the food and connection with your family, connection with your history. Like, think about when you tell stories of your grandma, how many of them are about favorite recipes or times in the kitchen
right.
with grandma
right.
or great aunt so-and-so's, you know, dish that she always brought to the potluck. Like, food forms connections. And so that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But we know it builds kids' confidence, not only in the kitchen, but outside too. So I know we've heard, let's see, one of my favorite stories is Adam. He's a 6-year-old and learned how to make homemade taco seasoning, made it for his grandparents and his teachers for Christmas. And then a month later, his teacher said, Adam, I ran out of taco seasoning. Can I have your recipe? So you can imagine Adam, you know, going to his mom and going, my teacher wants my recipe.
Yeah, right.
So like there's a confidence there that will uh-huh. last,
sure.
that will help kids, you know, feel free to take risks in other areas of their life. And then the creativity. You know, we know that in our screen-based society, we have less that we're doing with our hands. And so the kitchen is an amazing place to not only physically work with your hands, but also artistically work with your brain and be creative and try new things and tweak people's recipes. So it's just really an amazing arena for education. And all that aside, there's also math and culture and geography, sure. and all sorts of cool integrations.
Yeah. Do you have ways that you integrate other cultures into your cooking? Like, do you do maybe like, you know, tonight we're going to do Italian night and tomorrow we're going to do, you know, Mexican food night, things like that. Do you do that with your kids or do you just randomly choose recipes?
I'm pretty sporadic.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I love to infuse learning whenever uh-huh. I can. But, you know, like you, you're like, it's dinner time, you're kind of at wit's end. So I can't say I've ever done like a walk around the world. It's so cute
right.
and sweet. I know some of our
right.
members have. but there are definite, like, one of our favorite meals now is pinto gallo. It's just super simple beans and rice. But that comes from like Cuba and Costa Rica and mm-hmm. Mexico. And we actually got the recipe from our church when we were donating to the Rice Bowl during Lent. And it was this idea of like people in other countries are so poor, you know, and this is all they have. So why don't you have a beans and rice meal and put what you would save on the meat you didn't buy, you know, into the rice bowl. So
right.
that was a really special cultural integration for sure.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's great. Okay. We have a few minutes left. And in these last few minutes, I would really like for you to talk about Kids Cook Real Food, about your program, how it works and how, you know, I mean, can parents learn to cook with it? Is it just for kids? What does this program look like? And how can it benefit homeschool families?
Sure thing. So what I did is took 30 basic skills. I thought like, what do people need to just be able to cook? And how do you break it down? You know, stirring and measuring and following a recipe well. And so like, that's kind of my superpower as a teacher is just like yeah. breaking things down into little steps. So I had index cards everywhere of these basic skills. And what belongs at different developmental levels. So we have our beginner, intermediate, and advanced, preschool, early L, upper L-ish into middle school. And then, you know, I had to figure out the logical order and everything. And so that's what we do. We teach skills. It's not really focused on the recipes. So mm-hmm. the beauty of that is it makes it really allergy friendly and picky eater friendly too.
Right.
If you don't like one of my recipes, you just switch it with something else that teaches the same skill, right? Right. If you don't like mushrooms, you use strawberries instead. Not in a recipe, just right. for cutting
grass. Don't make mushroom shortcake. So
and it's video based, and the videos have my kids and at least one of their friends in them. And so that really helps kids to like be motivated by like other kids are doing this. I'm not alone.
Right.
And it is all healthy food. I love that you snuck in there, like, can parents learn from this too? Yes. we have a lot of moms who say, you know, I'm kind of learning along with my kids. And even moms who already know how to cook will pick up little new tips and tricks. And I mean, I love that about being in the kitchen too. It's always fun to figure out, you know, a new strategy or something. So trying to think if there's anything super important. We focus a lot on those knife skills. Eight mm-hmm. of the 32 skill videos are knife skills, because when we're talking about healthy food, that's the way to unlock the produce section.
Yes.
Right? You can't access fruits and vegetables without knowing how to use a knife.
Right.
So it's great for home. A lot of homeschoolers will use our classes like a Friday fun afternoon mm-hmm. and teach it once a week. It's a one-time fee for all access forever. So
mm-hmm. right.
you can work at your own pace. And we've been around long enough now that we have families saying, oh, we did this when, you know, Ben was 3, he did the beginner, and now he's 6 and we're starting him at intermediate. And that is like so fun to see the kids build through the levels. Really cool.
Right. Right. And you've got printouts as well that kind of walk you through all of the different skills and things like that. So you get to watch that. And the videos are fun. They're so well done. You guys have done such a great job with them. And it is fun because it's very real. You've got the kids in the kitchen with you and you're teaching them. And you're, what I love is that you're there as a mom teaching your kids and their friends how to handle things in the kitchen. And so, you know, it's not like a cooking show where it's just, you know, the mom in the kitchen, here's how to cook, here's how to do it. But you actually have the kids do it themselves mm-hmm. after you've taught them. And so I love that aspect of what you do. So this is great. I love what you are doing. I love what you're teaching. This is such a fantastic just opportunity for homeschool mamas like myself, and even those who are great in the kitchen. This is a great way for people to teach their kids how to be comfortable instead of uncomfortable in the mm-hmm. kitchen, because until the day comes when we have that Jetsons, you know, machine that's going to produce good, healthy, yummy foods for our families, I suppose it's something that we have to do on our own. And I know a lot of people actually enjoy being in the kitchen. At least that's what I hear. So I think
it can be a really fun experience.
Yes.
And my job is just to make it easy. I take the thinking out of it.
Yes.
And I let your kids hear it from someone else. That's feedback yep. we get all the time. Like, I'm so glad for someone else to tell my children to wash their hands
right.
and hold a knife tip down. You know, people will say all the time, like, yeah, Katie, they watched your video and they looked at me like, huh? That's what you say.
Right.
Yes, we're actually right. You know, good job, Mom.
I love that. That's so fun. One last quick question, because I just thought about this a minute ago. Yeah. Do you play music when you cook? Do you have music going in the background? I love to have, that is the one thing when I'm in the kitchen that seems to make it all seem a little bit better, is if I have some kind of music playing, whether it's worship music or, you know, fun music for the kids or anything like that. Do you typically find yourself listening to music as you cook?
It's, you know, one of my weaknesses is not loving or just forgetting about background noise, but mm-hmm. the rest of my family is really good at that. So a lot of times if my husband's cooking breakfast or dinner, he always has the praise songs on.
Uh-huh.
And my two older kids have been cooking a meal once a week for the last 3 years.
Oh, fun.
They actually took over Sunday dinners 3 years ago because I wanted to volunteer at high school youth group.
Nice.
And my husband's like, that's at dinner time. That is not going to go well. You're going to be stressed out. The whole family's going to suffer. So, well, what if the kids took over? So that's what they did. And they have like an actual cooking playlist.
That's
that they
great.
Play. It's super cute.
Yeah, that's awesome. So much fun. Well, Katie, you are such a blessing. Thank you for being on with me today. I know people can find out more at kidscookrealfood.com. But we said this at the end of the last episode. If you guys go to kidscookrealfood.com/SR for Schoolhouse Rocked, there is a free video that you will have access to on there. And what is the video called again, Katie?
It's our knife skills and safety class for ages 2 to teen.
Okay. Awesome. And it's a great video. We've watched it. My girls have learned to use knives through part of that video. And so it's a great resource. So you guys can get that video resource for free and just learn more about Kids Cook Real Food. And then you also have your blog, Kitchen Stewardship. Is it kitchenstewardship.com?
Yep.
Okay. So we'll put both those links in the show notes so people can get them. Katie, thank you for your time. Thank you for being a blessing to our family and to many, many families whose homes you're in, whose computers you're on, and who get to just experience just good kitchen stewardship right along with you. So we're very grateful for what you do.
Wonderful. It's a blessing to be here. And I hope people can just take one baby step, right? It's just one change at a time. And then a year or two from now, you'll look back and go, wow, we are so much healthier now.
Right, right. I love it. All right. And one of these days, I'm going to look for that 10 healthy snacks list that one day you're going to come up with. I just know it. It's not like I can't go on Pinterest and come up with 5 million of them, I'm sure. But I'm sure yours would be the best one. So I'm going to wait for you to come out with yours. Anyway, you guys, thank you for listening. You're such a blessing. We love you guys. Thank you for joining us today. And again, if you guys would just pray and consider any financial support for Schoolhouse Rocked. The movie is coming along really well. We are so excited about what God is doing with it and just pulling it all together. But as you guys know, we are fully supported by you, by our listeners, by sponsors of the podcast. And that is literally what is getting all of Schoolhouse Rocked. What's gotten us moving and what keeps us moving, you know, whether it's the podcast or the movie or Homegrown Generation Family Expo, all of this is to serve you, the homeschool community. And so if you guys would prayerfully consider financial support, you can go to schoolhouserocked.com, and right on the front page, you'll see a donate here button. I think it's right above where you can see the movie trailer. So if you haven't seen the trailer yet, for sure, go on the website and check out the trailer. You will be amazed at what God is doing. So anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and we will see you back here next week. Bye-bye.